Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is into your gates that we come this morning, into the courts of heaven that we come, acknowledging that the only way that we can come into your presence, the only way that we come into your courts is through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his blood that we have been saved. It is by his blood that we have been made righteous. And it is by his blood that we enter into your presence this morning, the blood of his perfect sacrifice of Calvary. We enter into your presence knowing that you, the Lord, the covenant-keeping God, you alone are God. We acknowledge before you this morning that you have made each one of us. You knit us together in our mother's womb. You designated the days that we would live out on this earth before we even took a breath. You made us, and we are yours because of Christ. Not only are we just yours, but you tell us that we are the people, the sheep of your pasture. We think of a shepherd and how he keeps watch over his sheep, leading them to the still waters, leading them to the green pastures, protecting them from enemies. And Lord, we acknowledge today that as your sheep, you do guide us, you do lead us, and you do protect us. Father, as we think of that relationship, we acknowledge our sinfulness, the fact that we as sheep go astray at times. We kind of want to do things our own way, and we leave you, the shepherd, behind. Lord, would you forgive us? Would you forgive us, Father, through the blood of Jesus for those times that we, as your sheep, have just kind of gone about doing our own thing, gone our own way. We are thankful that you, as the shepherd, do not move, you do not change, you do not leave us, you do not forsake us, and that as we turn back to you in repentance, you forgive us. We thank you for that forgiveness. And it is for that forgiveness and that love that you pour out upon us, for your grace and mercy, that we come this morning with thanksgiving. We thank you. We bless your name this morning because you are our God. You are our Creator. You are our great and wonderful Shepherd. And we come with thanksgiving not only today but each day, for you are good. And we acknowledge that you are good. You are good in the things that we struggle in. You are good in the things that we rejoice in. You are good. And we thank you and praise you for that. We thank you for your steadfast love. Again, Father, we fail to love you. We fail to be faithful to you. And yet you remain faithful in your love, your steadfast love, a love that you pour out upon us though we deserve nothing, endures forever. You will never take it away, for that love came to us in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. No matter what we come here this morning experiencing in our lives, whatever we've experienced this year up to this point, you have been faithful. Lord, even in those times where we look up and say, what are you doing? Or we don't understand, we know, Father, that you are faithful and that you will give us the grace to continue to move forward. And so we are grateful for that. Lord, you have been faithful to all generations, the generations that have gone before us, to our generation and the generations to come. And for that, Lord, we come before you this morning to sing, to make a joyful noise, to serve you with gladness. And so now we come into your presence with singing, with songs that fill our hearts, fill our mouths and our lips. And we pray that you will hear them, be pleased by them, Be pleased by our prayers. Be pleased by your word and the teaching of your word. And be pleased, Father, with the thanksgiving that we offer you today. We pray this in all things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Father, we come before you on this Thanksgiving morning, and we ask you now to show us from your word the thanksgiving that was in Paul's heart, type of thanksgiving that we also can have in this 21st century. So as we enter into your word, Father, teach us, convict us of our need to be thankful. We'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it would be safe to say that the Apostle Paul was a great encourager, and the epistle to the Colossians is a great example of that. Paul's ability to encourage came from an attitude of thanksgiving. In the first 8 verses of this epistle, he gives thanks for what Jesus Christ has done in the lives of the Colossian believers. But he also mentions thanksgiving in 5 other places in this letter. And when we recall that Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison, his attitude of thanksgiving is even more amazing. In verses 1 and 2a, he writes, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae." Paul was definitely the writer of this letter, and he identifies himself as an apostle by the will of Christ. He's telling us straight up that God called him out of his sin and out of his destination with eternal death and called him unto himself through Jesus Christ. And he called him to be an apostle. He gifted him in that way. Paul was not called to Christ through an organization or through men. He was not called to be an apostle through an organization or by men. He was called by the will of Jesus Christ. Paul asserts his authority here to make sure that the false teachers at Colossae recognize his position as a God-ordained apostle. Now, Paul also mentions Timothy, who was with him in Rome and was probably known at least by name by the people in Colossae. Timothy was not only a fellow servant with Paul, one who was loyal to Paul, one who suffered with Paul, but Paul said he was his brother in Christ. That he was his brother in Christ denotes the closest relationship that two people can have on this side of heaven. And note that Paul calls the Colossians brothers. We can safely interject in their sisters as well. They were born again believers in Jesus Christ. They were faithful to him. They were loyal to Christ. Notice that Paul addresses them as they were in Christ at Colossae. They lived in the city of Colossae, yet they lived in Christ. They were in the world, but they were in Christ, as were the Philippians. Their citizenship was in heaven, from which they waited a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul greets the saints in this typical Pauline way in verse 2b, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father." He prayed that God would give them grace in their lives every day and that they would experience the peace of God which surpasses all human understanding. At the same time, he's fixing their focus not on himself, not on each other, but on God the Father. That is why we began our service this morning in the Word of God and singing hymns that fixed our eyes on our Father, fixed our eyes on Jesus Christ. That is where our eyes need to be fixed constantly. Beginning in verses 3 to 5a, Paul thanks God. He thanks God for the spiritual position of the Colossians in Christ. In the midst of the heretical teachings that were threatening truth, Paul acknowledged who the believers were in Jesus Christ and how that was manifested in their lives. Verse 3 says, "We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you." Just a real quick reading of Paul's letters shows us that Paul was a prayer warrior. He was a man of prayer. And here he remembered these Colossian saints again and again before the throne of grace because he loved them. And Paul could only love them because he himself was first loved by Jesus Christ, 1 John 4:19. And whenever these dear saints came to his mind, he prayed for them. He prayed for them fervently. And notice that he didn't thank the people, but rather he thanked the one we often forget to acknowledge, the one who alone deserves our thanksgiving, our great God and Savior. What was the spiritual position of the believers in the church at Colossae, which brought forth Paul's thanksgiving to God? In verse 4a, they had heard of their faith. He had heard of their faith in Christ Jesus. Paul thanks God for the Colossians' faith, knowing that it was a gift from God. Their faith as an initial faith in Christ Jesus and their continued faith in Him. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God." Their faith was active. Their faith was energetic. They were trusting Christ. They were laying hold of His promises. They were resting in Christ no matter what the circumstances were or what the consequences might be. Their faith was active and alive, and others took notice. Paul and Timothy also heard of verse 4a, the love that they had for all the saints. These Colossians didn't just talk about love, they loved. They had experienced the love of Jesus Christ. They had experienced the love that brought them forgiveness and salvation, and so they loved one another. Love for Christians, love for our brothers and sisters is proof that we are truly saved. For John says, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters." Jesus says, "This is my commandment to you, that you would love one another as I have loved you." He also said, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." People of Colossae showed their love by acts of mercy and goodness and kindness to one another. And note that their love was for all the saints. Their love wasn't just for the rich or the good-looking or the powerful or the ones that they liked or the ones that liked them or the ones that they could get along with and they didn't have any personality conflicts with, not just the ones that they perfectly lined up with their theology. They loved all the saints. We are to love all saints. We are to love all our brothers and sisters because we have been loved in the very same way by our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul and Timothy were also thankful for the Colossians' hope in verse 5a, the hope laid up for them in heaven. Their hope, our hope, is an assured confidence that the prize of heaven is ours, our future eternal blessing, our eternal home, our heavenly reward. But most importantly, heaven is the place where we will see our Savior and we will dwell in His presence for all eternity. Knowing that heaven is ours, assured that we will see Christ, confident that we will inherit our eternal reward, causes our minds to be fixed on heavenly things, enabling us to walk by faith and to demonstrate love. Next, Paul thanks God for the gospel that was received by the Colossians and by all believers. In verses 5b through 6, he says, "Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth." This wonderful hope of glory stored up for the Christian was told to these Colossians when they first heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul thanks God for the gospel which marvelously saved these Colossian Christians. These two verses, we learn much about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ came and died for sinners. He didn't have to die for his own sins. He died for sinners. He died for your sins and for my sins. He took our wrath, the wrath that we deserve for our sins. He died so that we could live, so that we could escape eternal death and have that hope of heaven. When Jesus took our sins upon his back on Calvary, he died. He bore God's wrath. And when we come to him, he gives us his perfect righteousness. And we stand in the presence of Almighty God in Jesus' righteousness. But the gospel doesn't stop there. Yes, Jesus died, but he didn't remain in the grave. No, he was resurrected. He is a resurrected Savior, validating all that he said, all that he did, all that he promised. And that's just not good news, that is great news. So the gospel is about Jesus Christ. It is centered on the person of Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ. And the theme of this epistle is the preeminence of Jesus Christ. And he is certainly preeminent in the gospel. The false teachers who had invaded the fellowship in Colossae were trying to remove Jesus Christ from the place of preeminence. But to do this was to destroy the gospel. It is Christ who died for us. It is Christ who rose again. Christ, the Son of God. The gospel message does not center itself in philosophy, in a doctrine, or in a religious system. It centers in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So Paul is thankful to God for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel which is truth. All of God's word is absolute truth because it is inspired by God. And since it is truth, it can be trusted. All other religions are a lie, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is truth. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." When you think about it, everyone has faith in something. But faith is only as good as the object in which the person puts his or her trust. The pagans in remote places of the world worship gods of stone. Pagans in population centers worship money or possessions or status. In both cases, faith is empty. The true Christian believer has faith in Jesus Christ, and that faith is based on the word of truth. And any other kind of faith is superstition. It cannot save. It has no power to save. Paul thanks God as well for the people that bring the good news of the gospel. It had come to Colossae, Paul writes, so somebody had to have brought it to the people, probably Epaphras, based on verses 7 and 8, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Being a faithful minister, Epaphras brought the word of God, the gospel truth, to the people of Colossae. He brought them to Christ through the word of God. But then he did not abandon them. He taught them the word. He sought to establish their faith in that very same gospel. The word translated learned is related to the word disciple in the Greek language. It is the same word Jesus used when he said in Matthew 11:29, "Learn of me." Or in effect, become my disciple. Paul thanks God as well for the gospel was spreading all over the world. In fact, in obvious hyperbole, Paul wrote in verse 23 that the gospel was being proclaimed to every creature under heaven. But Paul stressed not only the universality of the gospel, but also its practicality. It was producing fruit. It was growing. There's an inward Holy Spirit energy to the gospel, which is able to save people from their sins. This is what Paul meant in Romans 1:16 when he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes." The gospel is God's power. It has an innate power to save as it is applied to the hearts of people by the Holy Spirit. The gospel has outward growth. It is growing. It is increasing. It is multiplying through the power of that same Holy Spirit as people receive the truth of the gospel and then spread it to others, making disciples of all nations. The gospel is unstoppable because it is fueled by the power of God. Lastly, one more unmistakable characteristic of the true gospel is the grace of God. Paul thanked God for his grace as found in truth, especially in the gospel. We cannot buy salvation. We cannot work for salvation. We cannot beg for salvation. We can't inherit it on our own means. Salvation is a free gift bestowed on us by God's sovereign, loving grace. It is by grace that we have been saved through faith. And this is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast. Some preach a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all, Paul wrote to the Galatians. This is because it is a gospel of grace, not grace plus works, not faith plus works. The true gospel is by grace alone. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? Have you acknowledged your sinfulness before Him? Have you acknowledged that you are lost in your sins? Have you acknowledged that He alone is the only one that can save you? If not, this morning you may very well be celebrating Thanksgiving Day, but you really can't be thankful. Not fully thankful. Because even though you are alive and you are breathing, you are spiritually dead. And this morning I would ask you to ponder the gospel, ponder Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary so that you could be saved, so that you could be truly thankful today because He died and took your place on the cross of Calvary. For those of us who are believers, I want to wrap this up. I want to kind of bring this forward and see what it looks like for us today. Today, let's be thankful to God that He called us to salvation. If I would have tried, I would have failed miserably, and I wouldn't even have known it. I am so thankful that God called me, that He called us to salvation, that He put the plan in place before the foundation of the world. He put a plan in the place that we could not mess up or destroy. Let's be thankful to God today that He not only saved us, but He continues to save us. He is sanctifying us. We are positionally righteous, yet He is practically making us righteous. And He has blessed us with gifts. Gifts to serve Him, gifts to serve one another, gifts to further the ministry. Let's be thankful to God for the brothers and sisters He's put around us. You know, on Sundays and on Wednesday evenings and on days like today, we come and we sit, and we usually sit in our same places. Kind of looking out here and I'm seeing people sitting in their same Sunday seats. We sit next to the same people. When's the last time you sat down and just said to God, "Man, I am so thankful for so-and-so who's sitting beside me"? When's the last time you said that to the person? Let's be thankful to God for our brothers and sisters. God didn't just randomly put people here. People just didn't walk off the street. God put each one of us here. He put each one of us into His greater family and then into this smaller family, a Bible Community Church. He's purposely placed that person next to you. Be thankful. Let's be thankful to God for our brothers and sisters' faith. The initial faith in Christ that was brought about by the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that brought us to faith. But at the same time, their story is so different. We each have unique stories and how God brought us to that point. And yet the same common Holy Spirit, the same common salvation and faith. We should be thankful to God for our brothers and sisters and their ongoing, active, and energetic faith. Their faith that is being lived out before each one of us. to be thankful to God for their love. They have expressed the love of God with a servant's heart, loving others, and we are the beneficiaries. We should be thankful to God for the hope that our brothers and sisters have, the same hope that we do, that no matter what today brings, one day we are going to stand in the presence of Almighty God. We are going to be one day be glorified and spend eternity in the presence of Almighty God. Place where there'll be no tears, no pain, no separation, no sin. Let's be thankful to God for the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of truth, which by God's grace and His Holy Spirit, our brothers and sisters have heard and have been saved by. Let's be thankful to God for the gospel that bears fruit in us and in others as we share it. Let's be thankful to God for the person or persons that He used to bring the good news to us. Someone or number of people brought the good news to us. We are able to hear the truth of the gospel because someone shared it with us. Be thankful to God for the people He has used to help us learn of Christ. The people that He has put around us and uses to continue to disciple us. Let's be thankful for God's amazing grace. That amazing grace that saves us. We are saved. We are being saved. We will be saved. His amazing grace that saves us and sets us free. That amazing grace that takes us through the toils and snares. The amazing grace that will one day lead us home. And that amazing grace that we are going to sing about for all eternity. Let's be thankful for that grace today. As I think of His grace, I thank Him for His common grace. The common grace that is covering all of our friends and all of our relatives that don't know Christ today. The common grace that allowed them to wake up this morning and breathe and sit at home reading the paper and making turkeys and all the things that they're doing right now. It is by God's grace. And my prayer is as we think and thank Him for His common grace that maybe we will be the messengers today, or we will be the messengers after today that will bring the good news of Jesus Christ, bring the saving grace to their minds and to their hearts so the Holy Spirit then begins to work, using that word that we shared to bring them to Christ. In a moment, we're going to pass two handheld microphones along. And where's Matt? Matt and Brett, you guys are our microphone people. And if you want to share something that you're thankful to God for this morning, they'll give you a mic and you can share that. And so if you guys want to get up and go get those microphones, Katrina has them in the back. And I just want to share one thing. And this is basically from Pastor Mike and myself. And it comes right out of the words we just read in Colossians. And we aim them at you this morning. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we see your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. And I am going to say one thing that I'm thankful for, and then the microphone's open to anyone else. I want to thank the Lord for my wife today. She has had one very long year, as most of you know, through all kinds of pain and struggles. And she continues to have a smile on her face. She continues to love me and my daughters. She continues to just show Christ in the midst of all that she's done. And I know that's not her. I know that's the Lord Jesus. So I'm thankful for that grace that God pours out that enables us to continue to move forward. For both of us have prayed more than three times for God to take some of the pain and things that she suffered this year. And He said, no, but my grace will be sufficient. So we are both thankful for God's grace that continues to be sufficient for her and for us as a family. The words of our hearts as we thank you for so much. We, as it has been said often today, do not deserve anything. Yet you continue to pour out your steadfast love upon us. We thank you for this opportunity to share. It is good to tell others what you are doing, always pointing to you, always focusing in on you, because you alone deserve the honor and the glory and the thanksgiving. In Jesus' name.